Now, one of the things that we run into is evasion. As we talked about on day three, sites are getting tricky. People are starting to build filtering in. You know, four or five people have implemented web app firewalls correctly. In most cases, they're not doing whitelisting, they're doing blacklisting. As attackers, we want to recommend that if you're going to do filtering, do blacklisting. As an attacker, I want to recommend that, right? As somebody who's trying to give you recommendations for protection, I'm going to tell you whitelisting. But the reality is that most people do blacklisting. Why? It's easier, right? If I do whitelisting and I do phone numbers, well, that's pretty easy, right? Numbers and dashes. Oh, wait, what about the plus sign for international? Oh, okay, numbers, dashes, and the plus sign. What about Joe, who wants to put periods instead of dashes between his phone number because he likes it that way and he has OCD? Okay, so we'll allow periods. Oh, yeah, but what about the guy? Like, when I worked at Blue Cross, my phone number was 90Kevin. And it was actually by accident. I didn't request it. I just got it. Right, so now I want to write that in, right? I'm 90Kevin. Right? No. Now we got to do letters. Right? So now as we're trying to build this whitelist up of what's allowed, well, we've already expanded it from the initial just numbers and dashes to now we support plus signs, dots. What about underscores? Maybe they want to do an underscore, right? I don't know. Maybe they want to put the hash mark. Okay, now we got hash marks in there. What about the splat from the phone? You can dial that, right? You can. So now we're building up this whitelist, and that's from a phone number. Let me ask you about names. What characters would you need to allow in a name? What? O'Malley. So you need to have the ability to have an apostrophe. Heck, the name I had up until the day I turned 18 had an apostrophe in it. I was my own SQL injection tester. D apostrophe, capital A, T-R-I-O. Done. What about dashes for hyphenated names, right? What about special characters for non-US-based people who have like accents and tildes and they'd be, you know, the name is not US, right? What about those characters? Are we gonna allow all of those? Nah. Spell your name with the 26 letters we got. No, that doesn't work, right? So we gotta start allowing that. And what happens is it's easier to do blacklisting. Now we're trying to enumerate badness, right? And the problem with enumerating badness is I'm badderness than you are. Because my hobby, one of them, is to sit on my couch over the weekend and come up with new attacks. Why not? It's fun, right? Another hobby is to sit on the couch over the weekends and pick locks, right? So I'm going to come up with new badness. You come up with, ooh, the word script is evil. Really? That's the best you can do? Right? Oh, we won't allow single quotes in. So we want to start trying to evade these. Let's look at some examples here. Let's talk about a traditional attack, right? Script alert XSS. How many people here have seen IDS rules, web app firewall filters, and filtering code that looks for the word script? Right? Yeah. Oh, it's a script tag. We can't allow that. Image tag source JavaScript alert XSS does the exact same thing. Right? So we switched it around a little bit. Oh, that's okay, because what we'll do is we'll actually run it through something like HTML tidy to verify that it's a valid HTML tag. Right? Okay. You sure? Yeah. Okay, good. So here is a malformed image tag. Image, quote, so the first two quotes are one string. Here's this, according to HTML tidy. Here's your second string. The second string's value is greater than, less than, script, greater than, alert, parentheses. It's an odd string, but hey, it's what you wanted. Then we have XSS as the name of a parameter. And then we have another string, parentheses, less than, slash, script, greater than, and then there's the close of the image tag, right? That's how HTML tidy would look at that, or any other type of HTML sanitizer. Now, the nice thing is this gets passed. because there's no script tags in there, right? Because of the way the quotes are done. Now when we get to the browser, you guys remember when IE and Netscape were battling it out, right? Ooh, Netscape, Netscape, IE, IE. And they would each come up with new ideas of ways to do the blink tag, because everybody loves the blink tag. The browser started to have to forgive things it didn't understand. Plus, let's be honest, we had every bait shop computer repair guy and his brother, I told you guys about him, right? Building web pages. And these bait shop repair, computer repair web designers and their brothers. This is a real guy, by the way. Yeah. No, not his brother. They would build web pages and have errors in the code. So the browser started to forgive things. And I always anthropomorphize, I can't say the word, but I can do it, browsers. So the browser sees this as image tag. Okay, I know how to handle that. Quote, oh, that poor developer. That developer was probably working really, really long hours, right? They're tired. Maybe they spilled their Mountain Dew and it made the key sticky. Right? And they accidentally put three double quotes right in a row. That is so sad. You know what? I'll help that developer out. I'm going to ignore the third quote. End of the image tag, start of a script tag, alert, XSS, close the script tag, and then for some reason we wrote quote greater than to the web page. Right? Your browser forgives the malform tag and fixes it. For you. Can you say, damn you, autocorrect? But for browsers, right? That's a malformed tag. That gets past your filter when you're blacklisting. Now let's try a couple more. Because we always get people who say, oh yeah, but what about this? My favorite is when they say, oh yeah, you know what we do? We run it through. And we canonicalize, you know what canonicalization is, right? When you canonicalize something, you make it as simple as possible while still being unique, right? So it's simplest form that is unique. So if we run that through and canonicalize that, well, those quotes would be converted to quotes. And hey, guess what? The code will execute. So your protection actually didn't defang it, it fanged it. Or undefanged? How would you call that? Right? Double defang. Nice. I like you. And now the attack runs. And then you always have that cocky developer. The developer says, nope, we thought of that. Ha ha. You don't got me, I got that one. I know that one too. Oh yeah, yep, got that one. Show them that one. Right? Image source equals ampersand hash x6a, ampersand hash x61, ampersand hash x7, blah, blah, right? I'll tell you right now, if your developer thought of that, make them an architect. Because there are browsers that will execute that. What were they thinking, Adobe Flash? Had to throw that in there. I like saying it every once in a while when we're talking about exploitation, right? So somebody asked yesterday, did you see that Adobe announced that if you use Flash to generate a game and it's a high revenue game, you should give them 9% somehow of the money? Like it's a revenue sharing thing that if you use their tool. So Charlie Miller asked, does that mean that if you find an exploit and you sell it, you gotta give Adobe 9%? But. Ooh, nice, we now have a partnership, yeah. You're profiting from my exploit development. I got arrested. You should help me out. Nice. I'm still waiting for the company to sue Adobe for their software. But, so, we're going to do an exercise now. Talking about evasion, talking about filter bypass, we're going to do a persistent XSS attack. In this XSS attack, we're going to attack PHBBB. Many pen testers' favorite application to find. Why? The PHBBB guys have had multiple security holes. I will give them credit. They have always responded very quickly to fix said security holes. The Problem is, nobody ever patches. So we're going to post a message, right? Use this, create a topic. Be careful. The spaces matter. Why? Because we're bypassing a filter, right? So when I build this message, it'll cause a pop-up, kind of cool, right? Now let's steal cookies using it. There's the cookie. That's the exercise. So, it's kind of a neat flaw, isn't it? We can steal cookies, we can inject code. How many people here post messages on a forum somewhere on the internet? Right? No, not at all, you never do. Do you ever read messages on forums? So now you are posting messages on forums, right? And later on today, when we do the cross-site request forgery attack against PHPBB, where we get you to post a message for us. So, how would we have found that, is a question people ask. And the easy answer to that is, well, I mean, we know the Google search, codes review, blah, blah, blah. But the reality in this is, it would be very simple to use Burp Intruder to fuzz a post message and then manually go and read all the messages and see which ones execute code, right? We would inject to see where we could find this. And I will tell you that anytime you see a site that says, as PHPBB does, hey, you can post a message and here's this special code to do formatting, giggle. Why? Because when they try to do their special codes, the browser isn't programmed to understand that special code. That's something that the PHPBB, too many B's there, right? Is programmed to parse and output the right stuff. So what we do is we try to inject something that is enough like their special code to get past their filtering, but not enough like where it'll actually defang our attack. And that's what this did, right? So these are the things to look for, right? As you're sitting there playing, as you're sitting there testing, anytime you see something that says, we support these tags because they're safe. I'm sorry? WordPress and PHPBB are both open source. Yep. Yep, absolutely. If you were that type of evil person. Oh, no, the time's not that hard. If you've got an application that you're testing and you know that you can go get a copy of the source, take the time. Serious. I mean, because I've got a bash script that I run and 10, 15, 20, 30 a minute later, you know, seconds or minutes later, I've got all of the vulnerable sections that I need to look at, potentially vulnerable sections, because my bash script has set greps that look for things I know are bad. Or I know the portion I'm interested in, so I'm going to go to that snippet of code quickly. Right. So advanced attacks. Because, you know, stealing cookies is fun, but is it enough, right? It's just cookies. We're not Cookie Monster, who they gave vegetables to. Did you guys see that? Did anybody go out and buy the first so many years of Sesame Street? I bought it for my kids, right? Because I thought, hey, Sesame Street, come on, this is cool, Grover. How could you not like Grover? And we put it on the TV, and it actually popped up and said, warning, this show is not for children. No, why would I make that up? It had a legal warning that this show was inappropriate for children. Sesame Street! Why? Because they actually had a character who smoked in a couple episodes. And they taught kids that if they were lost, to go to the closest adult and ask for help. Right. Yeah, pre-Adam Walsh. being a guy who lived just a few miles from where Adam disappeared, as a kid, that was a big thing when I was a kid, was Adam Walsh's kidnapping, right? So, advanced XSS. Now we want to start playing with some cool attacks, right? And what we're going to do is we're going to discuss some of these attacks that are possible and how they work. Then we'll take a break. Then we'll get into some tools that give us those attacks as a framework. So, first one, port scanning. Do you realize I can port scan your internal network using JavaScript? Not as expensive as SQL Server, but more accessible. All the different ways to port scan a network. It's pretty simple, actually. We use an iframe. We give it the source IP address. We want it to say, hey, is port 80 open on this box? It opens up an iframe, the browser. If the onload fires, meaning the onload event, that means a web page opened. There's a web server there. The code then changes the IP address or the port that the iframe is trying to load and reloads it. Boom, 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 boom. There's all the stuff. How do I get those internal addresses? Well, we talked about this yesterday, right? MyAddress.class by Lars Kinderman. MyAddress.class, great little tool, right? It's a Java applet. You load it, the Java applet retrieves the IP address. It does require one extra step, your code that loads it. Before you do that, you have to have a JavaScript function called MyAddress. That's where we would do the port scanning. The code to do the port scanning would be there. When the applet loads, it basically hands the IP address to that function, right? Not a bad idea. We now have the victim's IP address. If they are 10.42.5.16, well, let's port scan .17.18.19.20, right? The IP range they're in. What about fingerprinting servers? If I find a server, if I find a web server, how do I figure out what's on it, right? Well, it's actually pretty simple. Let's look for unique file names that we know exist. For example, can anybody tell me what type of server would be running Apache_bb.gif, having a web server that had that graphic file? By the way, I want to make sure you know it's not a Packard Bell server. I'm sorry? I know it was horrible. So were Packard Bell computers. But that's the Powered by Apache logo, right? So answer me this. What type of server has the HP invent logo.gif file on it? Every workstation? No. What type of machine, what type of system are we connecting to if it's got that file? Ah, close. Printers have JPEGs on them. Can anybody say ILO? The integrated lights outboard? By the way, using JavaScript, we can fingerprint the ILO. Right now, I can turn on and off servers through the ILO using JavaScript. And I'm this close and have been for a couple years now and just not worked on it to being able to issue console commands via JavaScript against your ILO boards. Isn't that fun? To get the internal IP address. ActionScript can too, but JavaScript can't. JavaScript can't get access to the IP address, right? What, JavaScript having the IP address or me running system commands via the ILO using JavaScript? Drac and Rib are also vulnerable to that. Yeah, isn't that fun? Man, I love this stuff. So how do we do this? Well, it's pretty simple, right? We do an image source equals, here's the IP address we found, and then here's the graphic name we want to see if it's there. Then if we get an error, we run this function. If we get an onload, meaning the graphic loaded, we do this function. Now personally, even if I find a graphic there, I look for the next one and the next one and the next one. Because we can run, right, it could be a Apache server that runs this and that and it, right? And we've got graphics for things like SharePoint, oh, it's great. Where do we get these default files, these files to look for? Well, right off the bat, we have Nikto. Nikto has an entire database, text file, of default files. But the Okoso project is also quite fun, right? Now, I don't know about you guys, but I'm a little biased toward this one. Okoso is Japanese for welcome. And the idea here is we focused on finding out unique files for various pieces of infrastructure. So here, pre and post authentication. So here's a SonicWall VPN, here's a Juniper VPN, here's a SharePoint server, here's a this server, here's a that server, here's this, right? And then you just feed this list into your JavaScript, and it'll tell you what that server is running, right? Of course, the question is, why do we call it welcome in Japanese? Well, it's infrastructure fingerprinting, right? If you travel to Japan, and you're not from Japan, according to the Okoso Japan website, which is the government's website for tourism, they fingerprint you, right? So we felt it fit. I'm sorry? So witty. I didn't say it was witty. I just said that's what we named it. Right. I am the guy that named a project Samurai WTF, and then on its year anniversary, mailed all the project team members samurai swords. You got to be careful doing that, I found out. If the guy you're mailing a samurai sword to is out of town and his wife opens the box, she will ask him if this is a death threat. Just saying, right? No, that'd be a horse's head. We can also browse your history, right? Find out what web pages you visited. This is actually pretty simple. This is not, hey, history, what pages? Tell me all the pages the person was at. Doesn't work that way. This is a brute force attack. We basically create a file that has link after link after link after link after link. We have the browser load that file, and then programmatically we walk through it and say, was this link in the link color or the V-link color? If it's in the V-link color, it was visited. So it's a brute force attack, right? Kind of fun, kind of nice. That's exactly right. We're brute forcing the cache, right? So we just give it a whole list. Why would we do this? Well, cache poisoning, that one's not as interesting in my opinion. But I would want to find your administrative users, right? Let's go back to that Okoso project. If I have a post authentication file for a Cisco VPN controller and your browser visited it, would that not mean you're the administrator of the Cisco VPN controller? Right, more than likely. So I can find administrative users. I can also map your intranet. So think back to your own organization. How many of you, for your intranet, have something that is my.yourdomain.com, home.yourdomain.com, intranet.yourdomain.com, users.employees.hr.office.printer. Right? All of the variety host names that you could possibly have. You're just saying no, you don't have any internal sites. Really? What are they named? Got it. Okay. So if you've got my dot, just for example, right? So now I look up my dot index.cfm, index.jsp, index.asp, index.do, you know, main dot whatever. And I can now go through and loop through and actually map your intranet based on the browser history of the user I've taken control of, right? Kind of fun. Which brings us to Dirzasploit. Now the idea behind Dirzasploit is not to give you a tool that you use the exploits right out of it. Because the six or seven exploits that are prepackaged and in Dirzasploit are against sites like Facebook and Twitter. One, they've been patched. Two, unless you're pen testing Facebook and Twitter, they're not very useful. The idea behind Dirzasploit is it's got a very powerful obfuscation engine built into it. So I want to hide my attack. What I do is I take one of the XML files that they have that has the prepackaged exploit, and I add my exploit to it. I change it so it's my exploit. Then I have the ability to run it through the obfuscator, right, to hide my attack from them. This is kind of nice. Now, I will tell you that the Dirzasploit project is currently a dead project. In the SANS courseware update stuff, we're able to pull content out once a year. Not this is super important, but we do one update a year where we can remove content. Any other time I want to remove content, I have to move it to an appendix just in case it's being tested on. right? I hit the point where I was supposed to remove this because it was that update, and I got an email from a project team that they had just picked up Dirzasploit and were maintaining it. They have not yet done their initial release, but that's why, because I really like Dirzasploit. The only reason I didn't pick it up and start maintaining it is I currently run 9 open source projects, have a company, teach, write 3 different classes, and have a wife and 2 kids. So taking on one more, it just was too much. But these guys are supposedly releasing a new version any day now. I don't mean that rudely, I just mean it as that's what their plan is, right? And so because I like it so much, I think it's a great tool. I'm really excited to see somebody pick it back up. I didn't take the tool out. Even if they don't ever release a version, Dirzasploit is available on Xamarin, right? So it is still able to be used for this. I just wanted to let you know, it is officially a dead project right now, right? You guys are going to do an exploit with an exploit. You guys are doing an exercise. Yes, sir. I'm sorry. I don't believe that Metasploit has a JavaScript obfuscator. Does it? I don't remember seeing one in there. There may be one, but I just don't remember seeing one in there, right? And yes, you could build one for Metasploit, right? But it's a JavaScript exploit, not the normal type of binary payloads. You'd have to look like the XSSF add-on for Metasploit to maybe have that, right? But I'm not sure off the top of my head. It's a good question. Now I want to go look, right? So in this exercise, you guys are going to launch Dirzasploit, right? Get everything set up. This is the big gotcha. If you forget this session new sec 542, none of the commands will work. So don't forget that. Create a new session. Bless you, right? Now, pick an exploit. You can pick up whichever one you want, but we walk through using the Twitter one, right? Generate it. It's going to generate to output sec542.js. Then you're going to obfuscate it. Notice it goes out to sec542.ob.js. And then we're going to look at both of them to compare the difference, right? So you can see the difference between an obfuscated and unobfuscated one. That's the exercise. By the way, Testing. You know what's really fun? I can actually stand up here and do this. Hey! And it gets red. It's like a contest to see how many times I can make the jump to red, you know? No, what we do with the guy at home is we can always say, hey, and for you listening in the car back and forth to work, we really appreciate your time listening to the audio track, but oh my gosh, watch out for that bus! Semi, there you go. I know. Yeah, because I do it every single recording. I yell, watch out for the bus. I actually had a guy call me. Oh my gosh, Kevin, you yelled that just as I was next to a bus. It's like, wow, that's kind of cool. How many times you yelled squirrel? Woo-hoo. It's like we went to the zoo when we first moved to Jacksonville, and when we had our first Brenna, we decided to take her to the zoo. And I don't know about you guys, but I can't go to the zoo without trying to make it dumb, right? Like, I don't know, it just, you got to do dumb things at the zoo. Is it, you know, and I'm not talking dumb things like jump in with the alligators, right? play with the monkeys. No. Play catch with the monkeys. Yeah, no. Don't want to do that. I don't play catch with that. So I started to explain that the squirrels running around were killer African squirrels, and they had gotten out of their cage. Right? Just, I don't even know if there are squirrels in Africa, right? That's where we roll around. So then my wife, like, she's getting irritated with it as we're walking around the zoo, because that's what I do, is irritate my wife. I tell everybody I've strengthened my marriage through travel. I'm home long enough that she's ready for my next trip, and then I'm gone long enough she remembers why she married me. You know it's bad when I'm at home and she says, so when are you leaving again? That's always bad. It's not as bad as when I came back from a trip and the insurance agent was in the door, in the house, because they were raising my life insurance. It's never a good sign. Wait a minute, what's this? Oh, it's an appointment we had, didn't we tell you? But, didn't get the memo. I have a policy of being nicer to her now. Look, she owns Secure Ideas. I have to be nice. She's my boss, right? I'm sorry, in more ways than one, yeah. I will acknowledge that I borrow the pants when I travel. But, so let's move on to cross-site scripting frameworks. We're gonna talk about XSS frameworks, exploitation frameworks. The idea here is, well, it's all well and good for me to say I can port scan. It's well and good for me to say I can browse history files, but it's different to say I don't want to write that code, right? I'm lazy. I want somebody else to write it for me. And yeah, I could do the Ed SCOTUS model and bring on 3, 4, 5 interns and have them do stuff for me. But you know, I'm not Ed SCOTUS, as great as he is. So what I like are the frameworks to do the heavy lifting. These frameworks are available to help us out and provide us this powerful collection of exploits that we can then leverage in our attacks, right? There's lots of frameworks out there. One that pops to mind immediately is the XSSF, which is part of Metasploit, not part of Trunk, but you can pull it into Metasploit. We're gonna talk about Attack API and Beef. Now, here's where it gets slightly interesting, right? Zombies. How can anybody not like zombies, right? Zombies are great. You know, you guys know what vegetarian zombies say, right? Grains. But I told you guys I had a sense of humor. I didn't say it was good. So zombies are the way we refer to browsers we've taken control of using JavaScript, right? It's very similar to bots, but we refer to them as zombies. Why? Because it's cooler, right? The quote wasn't, these are not the bots you're looking for. That's not it, right? And zombies, I mean, come on. Shaun of the Dead. So zombies are the browsers we're taking control of, and they're what we're gonna deal with next, right?